أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. This is Sayyid الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. Once again, the honor is mine to be here tonight and to be in the presence of all of the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt and the followers of the Ahlul Bayt. I remember just a couple of nights ago, we were in Detroit, and one of the brothers who was going to recite some poetry, before starting, because the MC had introduced him, before starting he came up and he said, you know, the honor is mine to be here. And for a second I thought to myself and I said, well, he's being, you know, it's just manners to say that, yeah, it's my honor. But when you think about it, to be attributed to Imam al-Hussein, that's an honor for you and me. Doesn't matter how you're attributed to Imam al-Hussein, just to be attributed to Imam Hussein. To say that he has something to do with Hussein, that is an honor for itself. And God knows that's not a small thing. No, that's a huge thing. Inshallah, we're going to discuss this tonight. And when it comes to doing things for Imam al-Hussein, what is the most important thing? Alhamdulillah, when I come here, some of the brothers who come during the speech, you might just see that, oh, well, everyone's already seated and, you know, the speaker is speaking and the lights are on and, you know, everything in the back is ready. But every person has put in effort. Every person wants to be attributed to the majlis of Aba Abdullah. So many people have wanted that until this majlis has come into existence. It's truly an honor for me to be here tonight. It's not just something that we say with laqlaqatul lisan. No. It's truly an honor. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. If you guys remember, we were discussing the results that take place when one is able to apply the concept of taqwa into their lives. The reason why I discuss these results is because this concept, it's underestimated. Or basically, people don't understand the importance of it. Sometimes you have to say it and mention it a number of times so that it clicks. Last night, we discussed this result of building faith with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a lot of these raza'il that we have, or radha'il that we have, they start moving away without you even having to push for them. For example, I am at a stage where when I do something good and other people see that I'm doing something good, what do? They clap for me. They're happy for me. And I like that. I like it when they see that I'm doing this act. That's something that a lot of us deal with. Sometimes you might even think that, oh, maybe I'm even doing it for them. I'm not even doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing it because I know this person is going to see, and when he sees and he likes it, I'm going to like it. A very basic issue. This is a radhila. Why? Because the like and dislike of people is important for you. This is natural. But when one is able to build his faith, build his iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he reaches a point where what others do doesn't really matter to him. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسِ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ. Those that when they are addressed by the people and the people tell them, others have gathered against you. قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Be afraid of them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Their iman goes up. So this was the result that we talked about last night. Paying attention in prayer, that's another one of them. Being able to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not having highs and lows in our life. Highs and lows, emotional highs and lows. This is where it's solved. There is no other way to solve it. You can go become you can be a Buddhist, you can meditate for years. If you want to play your role in this world, on one hand. On the other hand, not have highs and lows. No, you reach a maturity where you know everything is in His hands. That's only through this. Only through this. There is no other way. That's why they used to say that Allama Tawatabai, he didn't have highs and lows. Get very happy and get upset and then happy, upset like we do. No. So that's the result that we discussed last night. Tonight we're going to discuss another result so that we don't take this concept for granted. This concept, or this result that we're going to discuss tonight, is this: how you're going to affect the people around you, how you're going to affect your family, your friends, your relatives, even more importantly, your whole community. How are you going to affect them? Because when it comes to this issue, there's a lot of different approaches, okay? And this is an important issue because, brothers and sisters, the fact that we are sitting here tonight is because people have felt their responsibility when it comes to this issue, okay? Like, we're sitting here tonight. Like I said, we walk in during the speech or before the speech. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much effort has been put into this gathering so that when I walk in, the seats are in place. Everything in the back is in place. The lights are on. The hall is clean. Just to get a speaker come, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much organization and how much administration is needed to work out things, the details. You yourself, putting aside your time, making effort, all of this, all the brothers and sisters here who help, whether it's AOF, Muslim Scouts, whatever group or organization it might be, all of them putting their time. Why do we do all this? Why do we go to these measures to do this? Because Imam al-Hussein taught us that when it comes to your community, you can't be oblivious. You can't just close your eyes and sit there and say, I'm Hussein and I have nothing to worry about on the Day of Judgment. Hussein taught you and me that when I'm leaving Mecca or any other city to go towards Kufa, I'm going to talab al-islah fi ummati jaddi. I'm going to do islah. So Hussein is teaching you, listen, you can't sit there in your own little circle, in your own little box, and say, okay, well, everyone in this box is fine. Question: when Imam al-Hussein says the talab al-islah fi ummati jaddi, does this ummah, does it refer to the Shia? When he says the talab al-islah fi ummati jaddi, is this ummah, is it his school of thought? No. Al-ummah hiya al-ummah. The ummah, when you take a look at his time, how many people saw Imam Hussein as an imam? Very little people. When you take a look at the traditions, this person comes to the imam. This is not just Imam al-Hussein. Imam al-Hussein, he was gharib. Let's leave that for now. Even Imam Baqir, Imam Sadiq, you would think that they weren't under that much pressure. So they would be able to explain to people their status. This person comes to the imam, many traditions like this. And when he is addressing the imam, he says, Aslahakallah. As if we would say, may Allah fix your flaws. May Allah make up for your flaws. So when Hussein goes and takes his children with him, takes his family with him, he's not just doing this for the Shia. No, no. Fi ummati jaddi. The ummah, 99% of them, some of them don't even know who Hussein is. They don't even know roughly what the status of Hussein is. They just know, yes, the grandson of the prophets. So this is an important issue. Okay. What we want to discuss tonight is how is our approach supposed to be? Because you find different approaches when it comes to this issue. Some you would see that they would put aside everything they have to take care of because of the community. Because they want to make sure that the community's issues are taken care of. On the other hand, you will find those who are in their box, they're in their own circle. He doesn't care what's happening. Not just his own community, even around the world. It doesn't matter to him. They tell him, listen, a companion of Imam al-Hussein, not 1400 years ago, today. A companion of Imam al-Hussein today was martyred a week ago. He doesn't even know. Okay. How am I supposed to affect the people around me? How am I supposed to go about this? We're going to go through one of the verses of the Quran and we're going to discuss this issue. This is verse 32 of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And it is after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining about the Bani Israel that when you kill people, it's a big deal. It's not something that you just do and you walk away. No, this is a serious issue. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلٍ. Because of what happened and to show the importance of the lives of people, كَتَبْنَا, we ordained upon بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلٍ what? أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ. Whoever kills a person without that person being deserving of such a punishment. أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. When you kill that one person, فكأنما قتلت الناس جميعا. It's as if you are ruining mankind. ومن أحياها, and this is the point that we're trying to get to. ومن أحياها, and whoever revives one soul, one person. فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. It's as if he has revived who? All of mankind. The verse really puts it into perspective. Okay. Just like any other verse of the Quran, when it comes to the application of the verse, they come to the Imam. Ahyaha, this ihya, what is this ihya referring to? Reviving, what do we mean by reviving? The person comes, he asks, سَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ. What does the Imam say? He says, the person says, مِنْ حَرْغٍ أَوْ غَرَغٍ. Does that mean that if this guy is going to burn in fire, I save him, I'm reviving him? The Imam says, yes. أَوْ غَرَغٍ, if he's drowning, I save him? The Imam says, yes. Then he makes this point. قُلْتُ مَنْ أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ ضَلَالٍ إِلَى هُدَى. What about someone who takes the soul, he doesn't physically save him, but أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ ضَلَالٍ إِلَى هُدَى, he guides him. قَالَ ذَلِكَ تَأْوِيلُهَا الْأَعْضَمُ. That's the greatest example of this verse. This is the greatest example of the verse. Okay. So now we understand that if one of us is able, this is how I'm just going to put it this way so that we can move on with the discussion. Because there's a couple more twists basically to the discussion. As far as we know right now, the verse is saying this, وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا, if you save one soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His eyes, it's as if you have saved who? Mankind. That's one thing. The second thing is, the saving is not necessarily physical. Okay. Then, this is where you find the role of the ulama. Ayatul Bahjat speaking about this verse. It says, the Quran says, مَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And what you're thinking is this, that if I'm able to save one of my friends, If I am able to save, for example, my spouse, if I am able to revive her in terms of her spirituality, guide her to the right path, أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ ضَلَالٍ إِلَىٰ هُدَىٰ, it's as if I have saved all of mankind. And yes, that is what the verse says. But Ayatollah Bahjat makes a very nice point here. He says, no, don't make this mistake. Don't make this mistake. And nafs, that one person that you have to save, that one person isn't anyone other than you. That one person is yourself. If you can save yourself, it's as if you have saved mankind. If you can save yourself, you want to affect others? Bismillah. All these brothers who come here, alhamdulillah, the sisters, all of us who take a step when it comes to the majlis of Aba Abdullah, it's because of our community. We do it because of our community. If you want to fuel that action, it can only be fueled through saving yourself. Or else you can work for 20 years and still be where you are when you started. وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَا النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Everyone. Don't underestimate saving yourself. This is important. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدُ. Here, I'm going to go over another verse of the Quran with you, and this is a point that Shaheed Mutahhari makes. Once again, before we move on, I know I mentioned this last night, but if any of us wants to learn about Islam, say, okay, I don't have the chance to go to the Hawza, I don't have the chance to do this or that, I want to learn about Islam, where do I go? It's where? The books of Shaheed Mutahhari. And of course, some of them are difficult, some of them have philosophical discussions in them that needs to be supervised and needs to be taught. But other than that, he has a lot of books. And the thing about Shaheed Mutahhari is this, that when he used to write, he took the most complicated concepts and he would simplify them. Simplify them so that you and I can understand. Okay. So this is a point that Shaheed Mutahhari is making in one of his books. It's called Al-Imama wal-Qiyada. He's discussing the issue of Imama, and naturally he comes across which verse? The verse that was revealed during Qadir Khum. Hurrimat alaykum al-maytatu wa-d-damu wa-lahmu al-khinzir. And the verse goes on until what? Until it reaches this point. Al-Yawma يَيْسَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ دِينِكُمْ فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنَ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. And we've all heard the rest of the verse. So he's explaining the meaning of this verse. And he says the verse contains of a very important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that once we appointed this successor, and this successor was known to people, it was introduced to people. Yes, of course Ikmal al-Din happened. Of course Itmam al-Din happened. All of this we've heard of. Okay? But take a look at what the verse says. Al-Yawm ya'isa alladhina kafaru min dinikum. Those disbelievers who were trying to breach this religion, now they have what? They have yes. They don't have hope anymore. What does that mean? Meaning that they know they won't be able to do this. They know it. Then what does the verse say? فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِي. Don't be afraid of them. Be afraid of me. He says, listen, if you are able to take what Islam has already given you, and you're able to act upon that, you don't have to worry about others. Now, the danger is going to come from within. That's where the danger is going to come from. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ Don't be worried about those who oppose this. There are those who are going to oppose this appointment of the prophets. He says, don't worry about them. No. You have to worry about yourself. فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْنِ Yes, is there danger there? It is there. But that's not what's going to get to you. What's going to get to you is yourself. That's why in a tradition, the Imam makes it very clear to us. He says, أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكْ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ The biggest enemy that you have is that nafs of yours. أعدى عدوك نفسك التي بين جنبيك صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد So this is the effect of taqwa. If someone is able to do it, it's as if he is saving mankind. If you take a look at this, some of us, we never saw Ayatollah Bahjat. Some of us never saw the people who saw Ayatollah Bahjat. Yet, 10,000 kilometers, 15,000 kilometers away, exactly the other side of the world, you and I are sitting here, and we are talking about this person. I was describing the other night that when Ayatollah Bahjat used to enter his masjid, I was trying to explain for the brothers in Detroit what it felt like. The only thing that I could think of was this, was that the presence, his presence, just an immense and profound presence, as if there's nothing else going on around you. There were a lot of people, it was very crowded. But you couldn't feel what's going on. It's basically you zoned out. You didn't feel anything else that's going on. Why? Because he knows that if he's going to affect others, he has to ahya nafsahu. That's where it all starts. Does it stop there? No, it doesn't stop there. If someone is able to revive himself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the guidance to him. No one is saying that I sit here and save myself and that's it. Then when it comes to my responsibilities, when it comes to my community, when it comes to my family, when it comes to my friends, relatives, I just sit there and say, no, I did ihya'un nafs. I saved myself. No. It starts there. It doesn't stop there. It starts there. That's why one of the speakers used to make a very nice point. He said, do you want to really see who is Husayni? If you really want to see who is Husayni, look around and see who has done ihya'un nafs and who is doing more work. Hussein wants work from me and you. The only issue that we have is that it starts from there. These t-shirts that says Hussein lives within. Yes, Hussein lives within. But Hussein is not confined to within. That's where it starts. If you start it from there, it will go all around the world. It's not going to stop there. The next result that we're going to discuss, and inshallah I'm going to end, is this. And this is a very important issue, that when someone is able to carry out taqwa in their lives, what happens is that when it comes to the mustahabbat, they don't have to push themselves. The mustahabbat come to them very easily. He starts taking pleasure in what he does. When you take pleasure, if you have a job that you like, even though most people aren't like that, but if you have a job that you like, right? Even if your boss doesn't push you, you're going to do an extra every now and then at least. The more you like it, the more you're going to do extra. Mustahabbat are the same thing. The only point that I'm going to make and I'm going to end inshallah is this, that when it comes to the mustahabbat, there are two types of mustahabbat. There are the mustahabbat that we look at as extra credits. Like I did my daily prayers, now I'm going to do an extra prayer, for example. I'm going to do an extra dua. I'm going to do, when I'm in my third and fourth rakah, instead of three times, I'm going to say Tasbihat al-Arba'a five times. It's extra credit. There are other mustahabbat that are not just extra credit. No, they help you with the wajibat. You have to watch out for those. One of those, if not the most important, is the majlis of Aba Abdullah. This is a sentence from the teacher of Imam al-Khomeini. Imam al-Khomeini, before coming to Qom, it was his teacher who found the Hawza Ilmiya in Qom. Sheikh Abdul Karim Ha'iri Yazdi. He came to Qom before Imam Khomeini came to Qom, and he found the Hawza there. And if it wasn't for him coming to Qom, Qom didn't really have a organized Hawza, so to speak. So this marja, he comes to Qom. They ask him about crying for Aba Abdullah and doing work for Aba Abdullah. He says, listen, this is what I mean when I say, and there are some mustahabbat that are not just extra credits. No, no, no. They help you with the fundamentals. He says, crying for Imam al-Hussein is a mustahab that 1,000 of the wajibat lie within it. 1,000 of the wajibat lie within it. And we will discuss that inshallah. How is it that our friendship with the Ahlul Bayt is so important? How come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has channeled His mercy through Imam al-Hussein? Why not tell us, you want to come towards me, just come talk to me? Why does He tell us to go through another person? There's a reason for it. How come He says, either you have mahabba for this person and you have my mercy, or if you don't have mahabba, then there is no mercy? Is He just doing games, or there's a reason why He channels His mercy through this person? He says, listen, ابتغوا إليه الوسيلة. If you want to come to me, you have to come through these people. There's a reason for that. So there are two types of mustahabbat. And we need to watch out for the type that helps us even with the wajib. Another example is Qur'an. Being acquainted with the Qur'an. That's something that we seriously lack. Being acquainted with the Qur'an to the point where you feel like, okay, if this person is reciting the Qur'an, I can pick up 20, 30, 40, 50, 60% of it. Where you feel like when they're playing Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you. Not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person is talking to you. That's also something that we lack. Tonight is, as we get closer to the night of Ashura, inshallah, the brother will recite about Habib, the companion of Imam al-Hussein. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And we know that Habib was an old man. And Imam al-Hussein, when he was leaving to go towards Kufa, he wrote a letter for Habib. He wrote this letter, said, Habib, you know us, you know our family. وَأَنْتَ ذُو شِيمَةٍ وَغَيْرَةٍ. And you have غَيْرَةٍ. You know that I'm taking these women and children with me. I'm going to need your life. فَلَا تَبْخَلَ عَلَيْنَا بِنَفْسِكَ. I'm going to need your life, Habib. They say that Habib, when he received the letter, he was sitting there. His wife was there. His daughter was there as well. Habib starts reading the letter and tears start pouring down from his eyes. He knows that Imam al-Hussein is now alone. Al-Witr al-Mawtur. So we've heard the story how Habib, without letting the people know, he leaves the city and he's able to join Imam al-Hussein, and he plays a very important role on the day of Ashura. A certain segment of the army of Imam al-Hussein is allocated to Habib ibn Madahir. But tonight, I don't want to go into the musibah of Habib, because there is another companion of the Imam much younger than Habib. This is a companion who is Gharib. That is no one but Ruqayya bint al-Husayn. On the day of Ashura, Imam al-Husayn, when he goes through the difficulties, Husayn is thirsty himself. Husayn has been through difficulties himself. Husayn, he's been giving away his water for the children for days, having just a little bit of water. Husayn doesn't feel his own pain. Husayn feels the pain of the children. Husayn feels the pain of Abbas coming and going, not being able to bring these children water. That's what Husayn feels. Husayn is not worried about himself. But brothers and sisters, there is one person in this caravan that is not worried about herself either. She is not worried about her thirst. She is not worried about the disrespect of the troops. She's not worried about any of these things. This person is only worried about her Baba. Ruqayya, she is thirsty. But the most important thing for Ruqayya is her father. Lady Zainab is standing there. Imam al-Husayn says goodbye. He wants to go to the battlefield. Ruqayya is there once again. Where is my father going? How many times does Lady Zainab have to answer this question? Where is my father going? Where is my father going? This child is so worried about her father that they say that when they moved near the city of Kufa, they kept the Ahlul Bayt in the outskirts, in the ruins of the city, outside of the city. Lady Zainab is walking around, she's putting the children to sleep, she's making sure that these children are calm, these children are tired, they have been pushed. The daughters of Imam al-Husayn are tired. And as everyone goes to sleep and the silence comes to the ruins, all of a sudden they hear the cry of the three-year-old. She starts crying. Zainab doesn't know what to do. Who is this that's crying in the middle of the night? She goes, she sees it's Ruqayya. Ruqayya, calm down. It's going to be okay. But Ruqayya cannot calm down. Ruqayya wants her father. Ruqayya continues to cry and cry until the troops come. Who is this that's crying? It's Ruqayya. What does she want? Silence her. Ruqayya wants to see her father. Bring her the head of the father. They bring the head of the father. This child, this three-year-old child, how much capacity does a three-year-old have? She sees the head, she starts talking to the head of Abu Abdullah. Ya Abata, O father, man alladhi aytamani? Who took you away from me? Man alladhi khadabaka bidamik? Who is the one that stained your beard and your face with your blood? Who is this that has brought me all this pain? She continues until all of a sudden Lady Zainab sees that this child is calm now. It's as if Lady Zainab says for a second, Alhamdulillah, Ruqayya is now sleeping. She comes closer, she sees, no, there is no noise at all. Ruqayya is not making any sounds. Ruqayya has now joined her father. She cannot take it anymore. Ala la'natullah 'ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa sayya'lamu alladhina zalamu ayyamun qalbin yanqalibun.